Hello.
Hi, everybody. Hi, DigiDestined.
Hi, DigiDestined.
We're here with a microphone check.
We could just start the episode.
We could just start the episode. What if we just start the episode?
What if we just start a little cheeky start?
Should we zoom out the Audacity so it doesn't scroll too much and crash?
So we had to download an update to Audacity
So
I didn't crash.
She's sleek. She's skinty. She's next generation.
Yeah, a sequel
to
Audacity, if you will.
Audacity 02, if you
Audacity
will.
Audacity 02, yeah.
Nailed it, yes!
Although this is like...
That's the funniest thing I'll ever say on this podcast.
Audacity 3.75 or whatever.
Isn't that Charlie XCX song or whatever? I'm on a roll today, folks.
You really were, like, I was on my computer and you were like, click on that. Anyway, we're here to do some fun stuff with Digimon Adventure 02.
Yeah.
Way back in 2022 when we wrapped on Digimon Adventure in our, like, super condensed retelling of that series, we did a tier list.
Yes.
And so we're going to do our tier list again with some new additions, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Some friends, old and new.
Yeah, you did not, I included... Like, the original cast of human characters?
Mm-hmm.
You did not.
I did include Kari and TK, because they're, main cast.
Yeah, but that's not what I mean.
Yeah. The reason I didn't include them was partially because I didn't know you were, but also partially because, to me, like, while they were all, like, they were important presences in this season,
uh-huh.
I don't think any of them did anything positive or negative enough to... change where I tiered them after the first season.
Okay, but, like, you know what? Mimi was there.
Mimi was there. Like, that's the thing, is Mimi is still S tier for
and
me.
And she was stunting.
Yeah, her outfit was very cool.
Yeah. All of her outfits. She had, like, four.
Yeah. I just, like, my opinions on them weren't swayed in any direction.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so should we get into our tier list?
Yes, I think we should.
Okay. So, that's gonna be our first stop on this Digimon Adventure World tour.
We're so good.
Should we start from the bottom of our tier lists? I think you have a different tier on the bottom than I do.
I just have standard S, A, B, C, and D. That's all I got.
Okay, I have S, A, B, C, D, and a special tier.
Is the special tier at the bottom?
No.
Okay, so maybe we should start with each of our D tiers.
Yes, let's start with the D for Digimon.
D for Digimon. Okay. I only have one in my D tier.
Okay.
It's Chimeramon.
Work.
A lot of the season builds up to Chimeramon. He's just, like, and I get the point is that he's just, like, a personalityless
monster. Yeah, he's a monster, big dumb monster.
But that's, like, not the most interesting to me. And also, I also understand why his design is that ugly, but his design is very ugly to me.
He's a chimera.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I understand all of that. Doesn't mean I like it. So I did put him in D tier.
He's the only one in your D tier?
Yeah. I also, I could have put him in C tier, but I was like, I gotta have something in D tier, and Chimeramon is, like, such a monster of the season character to me, as opposed to, like, an actual, like...
Okay.
Yeah.
I have more than one in my D tier.
Okay.
The bottom of my D tier is...
Is it Kari?
Daemon.
Okay.
D for Daemon.
Okay.
Ultimately, also D for disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
D for defeated easily.
Yeah.
You're
gonna be mad at me. I don't think I have Daemon on here at all.
That's fine. Next... I have Chimeramon, because ultimately, not really a character, more of, an obstacle.
Yeah.
The next one I find controversial
mm-hmm.
is Myotismon.
Okay.
Because I think, ultimately, Myotismon being the main bad guy is interesting. I think they could have done more to lead up to it. And maybe they, once again, I've never seen the subbed version, so maybe they do have some more hints dropped.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only thing I think of is that there is, a reference to, the Memorial Day of Wizardmon's death. That's, the only thing they think of, but...
Yeah, he's also, yes, he's in this season, but he's still primarily a first season character, so it's,
yeah.
Whatever he does this season doesn't overshadow that, so mm-hmm. it's hard for him to be justified as, a major...
Right.
Yeah.
He also killed Orokinemon and Lomimon, so he's dead in my book.
Yeah. I would just, because I didn't have him on my tier list, I'll just say I would have probably had Daemon C tier.
Okay.
For the record.
Still on D tier, I have Azulongmon.
Okay.
fun, funny, mean to Davis for no reason.
That's true, I forgot about that.
I was like, man, not objective at all. Like, here are my favorite kids, the Digidestin. Oh, and look, Davis, you're here too.
Yeah. Bullying, like, an 11-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, but, like, cool, like, visually awesome, add some cool lore to the series.
Mm-hmm.
At the top of my D tier, only in D tier because he isn't featured very much, is Michael.
Wow, you put me in D tier. How dare you?
Okay, but you're, like...
Stassi Schroeder-coded. How dare you?
Okay, we really have been watching too much Vanderpump. He doesn't show up a lot. He is cool. I mean, little kid me was like, oh, he's from America and a Digidestin. That means I could be one too.
Aww.
And I love a gay guy named Michael.
Oh my gosh, you guys.
But I mean, he's your main op. You're from Boston. He's from New York.
That is true. He's from New York, so he's better than me. And then he's gay and named Michael, so he's like... Also, like, he's not actually gay by any...
Oh, I think he's so Mimi's gay friend coded.
He's so Mimi's gay friend coded, but it's all coding. It's not... It's never, like, written.
Okay, C-tier.
C-tier. So bottom of my C-tier, I have Michael. I did have him in C-tier just because I thought he was, like, a fun little, like, appearance... I think there's Michael the character, and there's, like, what Michael adds to the lore of Digimon, where, like, he shows up and is, like, a Digidestined outside of their, like, little city.
Yeah, he brings in this international element.
Yeah, so I liked that he functioned in that way. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what bumped him up to see for me, even though he ultimately isn't, like, a hugely impactful character himself.
Like, it's, like, borderline C&D.
Yeah. And then who was his partner again?
Betamon
was very cute.
It was cool to see that, like, his partner Digimon was a Digimon that was their enemy in the first adventure.
Yeah. Was Betamon even on this?
No,
yeah,
on this tier list.
Yeah, so I would have paired them together. And then I have Metal...
I'm blanking. That's Metal Seizuremon, but he's not in this season.
What was I doing when I made this? I made this, like, a little while ago, so I'm like...
Yeah, we made this after we recorded our last episode, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then now we're recording this one.
Okay, so ignore that. Then also, I thought he was one of the armor evolutions.
Oh, no.
I think I saw the armor and was like, oh, it's an armor evolution of, what's his name? And then I have Kari in C tier. Because I agree with you that she is really mean to Davis for no reason. I also think, like, her involvement with the Dark Ocean stuff is, like, annoying. Because the Dark Ocean stuff is annoying.
Yeah.
Ultimately, yeah, I still have her in C because I do think... I find it hard to rate any of, like, the main cast as... D tier.
Okay.
Unless they're, like, putridly dislikable. And I also still really like her dynamic with Gatomon. So.
That's all in your C tier?
That's all of my C tier.
Yeah. Okay. The bottom of my C tier is...
Bitch, that's June.
June is really annoying and ultimately has no payoff in the main material, which is the anime.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, in... some, like, supplemental materials. She does get a Digimon partner.
Mm-hmm.
She becomes, like, part of the group. I think that should have happened in the main story.
Mm-hmm.
Because her being the butt of the joke, and ultimately being a really cruel joke, to be honest. Like, when they leave her behind.
Oh, yeah.
On the camping trip.
She could have died. She could have gotten, like, mauled by bears.
No, like, they leave her at her doorstep.
Oh, right. They don't, yeah, it's not the other way around. Yeah.
They that's mean. It's a really weird look for our heroes. Like,
yeah.
I like that she brings a different dynamic of a brother-sister relationship than Ty and Kari.
Yeah.
Where, like, her and Davis, they don't hate each other.
Yeah.
Like, really.
Yeah.
They're not weirdly close. You know what? I bet they have separate bedrooms, and that's why they're not weirdly close. Like,
yeah. It does have a little bit of that, like, very of-the-time energy of, like, get out of my room, nerd breath! Don't you know there aren't any losers and dorks allowed in the Princess Kingdom? Like a little bit of that, you know? Like,
okay.
You know what I'm talking about.
Jude was, like, 7, but, like...
Yeah.
Next in my C tier is Joe.
Okay.
I think Joe... I think I had Joe from the first adventure, like, in, like, B tier, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
This is, like, he's much older than the rest of them now, like... He isn't really in it very often. The couple of episodes he is in, I really do like.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, when, like, him bonding with Cody and stuff, and, like, him, like, showing that he is, like, mature and responsible. I dig it. Mm-hmm. But he's ultimately not important enough to service the main plot. Next in my C tier, I have Oikawa. I think we made him more interesting.
We did.
In our discussions of him, like, maybe being in love with Cody's dad.
Yeah.
The interesting dynamic with Arukarimon and Mamimon. That stuff is not really present in the dub anime that we're watching.
Yeah, that's so, like, true.
But I think us doing that kind of made him more interesting. I think he also is simultaneously introduced too early and too late.
Yeah, it's like a hanging mystery there for, like, way too long.
Because he is introduced pre-world tour.
Yeah.
But then it's like, and ultimately, it's not really Oikawa, it's Myotismon that's the bad guy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but he is an ultimately really tragic figure that is captivating. But mm-hmm. Next to my C tier, I have Sora. Mm-hmm. Same thing as Joe. Not really interesting. In it less than Joe.
Yeah, they heard us complain about her not having enough to do in season one and said, bet. We're going to double down on that.
Pull my beer. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then top of C tier, I have Matt.
Okay.
Same as Sora. Not really. Same as Sora and Joe. Didn't really have a lot going on.
He had a banger of a song going on.
He had a banger of a song.
I turn around.
And I see what's behind me.
That is what turning around does do. Yeah. Good job, Matt.
Okay. Wow. Hater. But then I noticed that it was interesting to me, like, the three characters from the original squad that mm-hmm. aren't TK and Kari, I guess, that have the most impact on the storyline are Ty, obviously, uh-huh. Izzy, and Mimi.
Yeah.
So, like, to me, that could mean that, like, maybe they were, like, the original creators, like, three favorite characters.
Maybe. I mean, I think Izzy fulfills a role that isn't as easily replicated without it being... Because Izzy is, like, the tech guy.
Yeah.
So they kind of need that backing. Mm-hmm. And then...
Ty, it is, like, it was about him.
Yeah.
And they did a lot of stuff with Agumon.
Yeah, and it's also, like, on the flip side of the thing with Izzy, Davis is so clearly a parallel to Ty. Like, yeah. It's so clearly, like, the new leader, like, where it has that haircut and wears goggles or whatever.
Literally was wearing Ty's goggles.
Yeah.
I think Mimi brings, like, because I think Mimi was so compelling in the first season because of her, like, growth. Mm-hmm. And that she, like, she's the one that rallies all their friends together at the end.
Yeah.
So, like, I think her relationship with the Digimon is, like, hard to replace. But also, like, why couldn't they fucking have Sora do that, too?
Yeah.
I think Sora's crest of love is so weirdly utilized.
It really is. I think also part of it is probably when you look at the girl characters in season 02, Yoli is largely, this isn't a critique of Yoli, but she is largely negative. She's often grumpy. She's often angry. She's often, like, a little pessimistic.
Yeah.
And then Kari is more optimistic in terms of the grand adventure, but is also, like, constantly digging at Davis and stuff like that. So I think they gave Mimi a bit more to do as well, because she would be, like, a consistently positive counterbalance amongst the girl characters.
So go B-chair?
B-chair, yes. I have Davish. His ascendance throughout the season, like, at the very end of the season, he was really great. There were parts of the season where he was just, like, a really annoying...
Rather annoying!
Like, his presence in the episodes, like, he would do annoying things, and then everyone's reactions to mm-hmm. him doing annoying things would still be annoying, and then that would be, like, a third of the episode.
Yeah.
So it was just, like, a lot... They knew where they were going to start with him and where they were going to end. They made him,
like, unnecessarily dumb all the time.
Yeah. And it was, like, for cheap...
I think it's more dubism than subism.
Yeah. I think he was the most, like, this is a show for kids character on the show.
You don't think, like, the adorable monsters were this is a show for kids?
I mean, they all have, like, kind of complex... Sure. I guess, okay, of the human characters, Davis is the biggest reminder of, like, ha-ha, dumb fart humor that kids like. Because I don't think the humor aspect of the Digimon isn't really like that, I don't think.
Often. Yeah, I was never a child, so, like, I didn't really like that.
You were born at 18?
Yeah. I never really, because I found Davis so annoying.
Even as a kid?
As a kid.
Yeah.
But as a kid, I was, like, a little gay boy, so I was, like, really into, like, Mimi. I loved Yoli because she was, like, a tough girl. Mm-hmm.
A lesbian.
She's a lesbian.
Well, no, she's bisexual.
Bisexual queen.
Yeah.
But I have Davis ranked in a different spot. So.
Okay. Yeah, so Davis, ultimately a very hot and cold character for me. Not just because he's got flames on his jacket.
In and you're out. What? Up and you're down.
What's happening?
Wrong and it's right. Black and it's right. We fight, we prank up, we kiss, we make up.
Are you singing Katy Perry me right now?
Yeah, hot and cold.
The day after...
After Joella...
Premier Katy Cat Joella Perry got eliminated from Drag Race. Wearing a mattress.
Is her name Joella or is it Joella Perry?
It was Joella Perry, but then it's just Joella. It's very much like the Jan Sport becoming Jan, except it's just like not for brand reasons. It's just like for whatever reason, I guess.
Okay.
Her drag name was Joella Perry for at least like a while. Okay, otherwise, elsewhere in Bouchier, I have June. I have a question for you. Because I think you just said something that confused me. Is your perception, how old do you think June is relative to Davis?
I think she's the same age as Ty and them.
Yeah, she's a couple years older than Davis, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because for a second I thought you said she was 7, and I'm like, is she supposed to be younger than Davis?
No. She's the older sister. I thought you were saying, like, isn't there no, like, dorks and nerds allowed in the Princess Kingdom?
Yeah.
Was very, isn't there, like, a 7-year-old girl would say?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Instead of just like, get out of my room, dork.
Yeah.
Like a
I got you.
Bitchy older sister would say.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so she's old. Yeah, I think June is a weird character to have. I think she falls a bit into that same trap of, like, her, like, very immature, like, rivalry with Davis is very much like a, here's a thing the kids can relate to, is don't you hate your sister? Or whatever. And her crush on Matt is overbearing, and then the way that people react to it in the show is also weird. But I do, here's the thing, every time I see June, this is so sappy. Every time I see June, it makes me think of doing the podcast with you, and how you edit in the bitch that's June every time we talk about her. So which is going to be, it's going to be a heavily edited section of this episode.
We made her funnier.
We made her funnier, and it, like, it brings joy to me when I think about her. So it elevates her into B tier for me. So that's why I have her there. Then I have TK.
Okay.
I think, obviously, growth from the first season, that he's more confident, more mature.
Taller.
I think he also is, like, weirdly jealous / mean to Davis at times.
There was that whole thing that we learned about, like, half of the writing staff wanting Ken to be Davis's rival and the other half wanting it to be TK.
Yeah.
And, like, it still feels by, like, the end of the series that, like, the rival should have been TK.
Yeah. I also, even though TK is kind of, like, actually their leader, because he's, like, been here before and is a boy, I guess, so the show just does that. I feel like in season one, a lot of the lessons learned were done through Ty or driven by Ty. I feel like in this season, that's not so much the case with TK. I feel like he's not often the one who's, like, coming to the realization of what's important or whatever. It's more of a collective, which is fine. I just think, like, I can't really tell you, like, what TK really actually did or represented this season, other than, like, continuation from the first season.
Okay.
And that's fine. It's, you know, it's good to have that, but that's why he's only in B tier for me. Then I have Azulong Ma. I think his design is really cool. He fits the Jedi kind of role for this season a little bit.
Well, he literally, like, talks of Jedi.
Yeah. And I think I like him.
Oh, I didn't include Hot Jedi.
Yeah, I didn't include Hot Jedi either. I think, like, in world, he makes more sense than Jedi does. Like, he's a Digimon, and he, like, looks very, like, otherworldly, godly thing. Where Jedi is, like, a short, old dude. So it was always kind of confusing to me why he looked like that, you know?
Yeah.
So I like Azulong Ma a little bit better in that sense. He's obviously not as, like, goofy, silly, campy as Jedi is. But, yeah, I think Azulong Ma, I think your point about him, like, randomly bullying Davis, I had forgotten about that. But I still think he's, like, a cool, like, wisdom bringer of a character.
Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah. I also think the episode where he shows up is one of the best episodes.
Yeah.
Then I have Potamon, similar to TK, just feel like he's a little bit cuter. He also, like, in season one, he's very much like new Digimon, unconfident, blah, 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 until he becomes Angemon. Yeah. He's a little bit less that now. He's similar to TK. I just, like, liked where he started from better, so he's a little bit higher up in B tier. Like, I already liked him a little bit better than TK. And then I have the Digi Emperor. I have him separate from Ken.
You know they're the same person, right?
I do know they're the same person.
Okay, that's kind of the whole
point. But I think I think they have, for me, they have to be, first of all, they were on here separately in the thing.
Yeah, which is weird.
But I also think they represent two very different arcs and character personalities of, I mean, it's pre and post the, not the Black Year, what are they in this season?
Dark Rings.
The Dark Rings, yeah. He's got like, well, he, like whatever Oikawa was putting in the kids, remember?
Dark Spores.
The Dark Spores, yeah. It's like pre and, it's like a total character transformation. So that's why I wanted to separate them. Digital Emperor, very nefarious villain. Also very just like irritating, annoying. But like genuinely like the fact that he was like clearly like a human child who was like using his digi-destinedness for evil was like a really interesting wrinkle in the formula. And I'll talk more about Ken. He's a little bit higher up on my tier list. I'll talk more about Ken separately. But in terms of just the Digital Emperor, yeah, very evil. Very compelling in the way that he pursued that evil and what he represented for like the lore of the world. Okay. And that's my B tier.
Okay, and my B tier. Mm-hmm. Bottom of B tier, not because I do not stand, but he is not enough. Cody's grandpa felt like the Matt. He's not in there. I had to add him.
Okay, yeah.
He felt like the Matt's dad, Ty's mom, like role of like, or Izzy's mom, role of like parent who was more involved in the storyline than the other adults. I thought the things he said to Blackboard Raymond were really sweet. And his, like, kind of, like, if I had understood my son more then, maybe he wouldn't be gone now. Or, like, and him, like, bonding with Oikawa about it. I thought that really was, like, nice. And I wish that, like, Oikawa could have been friends with Cody's grandpa, you know? Then I have Ty.
Okay.
I think Ty, because we found Ty really irritating in the first adventure in our coverage. I think, because I felt like, unlike Davis, where, like, I thought Davis had made a sharp turn in his character growth, and, like, people kept treating him still like he was an idiot. I think it felt like Ty kept backsliding.
Yeah.
In his character growth, and he was an idiot.
Yeah.
So, the Ty that I actually like the most is the Ty we see in Our War Game, part of the Digimon movie. So, then I have Patamon.
Okay.
I feel like Patamon, out of all the Digimon partners, maybe he didn't contribute the least, but he definitely wasn't interesting.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, he was just kind of there.
Yeah, he's like a solid, like, glue guy, almost.
Yeah. Then I have Kari.
Mm-hmm.
What a bitch. But also, like, I can't deny that she was, like, important to the story. And that's it. Then I have Hawkmon.
Digimon.
Every time I think of Hawkmon, I think of Ben de la Creme from RuPaul's Drag Race season 6 being like, we originated the language.
Very
well. I might understand that Twitter is some kind of songbird. I like Hawkmon. I just don't think he was in it enough. I liked his relationship with the Oli and how it developed. And how it was, like, a slightly nerdier version of Mimi and Palmon. So, that's my B tier.
Nice. Shall we
go for it?
For the A's. Okay, so in A tier, I have Oikawa.
Okay.
I think a complex, dynamic villain once he really got going. Design-wise, very creepy, good design. Yeah. I agree with you that we kind of filled in the blanks a little bit with him. But I really like those blanks, and that makes him a really strong, like, my feelings, that influences my feelings about him very deeply, and that's why he's an A for me.
Okay.
Hawkmon, kind of all the reasons you said, I think I just found him a delightfully optimistic, he's, like, maybe the most level-headed of all the Digimon this season, which I also appreciate, because, like, that's usually the role I try to be in my friend group, is, like, well, let's not panic here.
Okay.
Then I have Yoli in A tier. Yoli is...
Not you disrespecting a woman in STEM.
Oh my god. A queer woman in STEM.
A queer woman in STEM.
I think there are...
Purple hair and pronouns?
I'll explain why she's in... Why she's not in S4. I explain like what brought her up this high.
Okay.
I think there are some elements of her character that are a little bit overdone, over-relied on for plot. And do get a little annoying and get a little bit into the territory of, like not knowing how to write girl characters in these cartoons that are, like, mostly boy-centric.
Yeah.
I think, like, there's having the crush on Ken, and then there's, like, maybe like an 8-10 episode stretch where that's the only trait they really give Yoli is like she has a crush on Ken. And that gets a little one-dimensional for me. Mm-hmm. It's very similar to like the Davis and Kari thing. But it's a smaller percentage of her overall arc, so it doesn't bother me as much. It's also like funnier because like the way she goes about it is like insane. What I love about Yoli is she is like fearless. She is she speaks her mind more than anyone else in the group. She's kind of nuts. Like when she like climbed up the spire or whatever, because like I don't even remember why she climbed up.
She's there because
she just wanted to help. Eager. Yeah, and then she like climbed like down a cliff's face or something at one point, and they were like, no, you're gonna fall. Like something like that happened. There was like a crevice.
That's the episode where her and Kari form Sylveemon.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was, again, she's like eager.
Yeah. I like that, like, I like her design. I like that, like, the family dynamic of, like, her family owning the store.
And her having a lot of older siblings.
Yeah. She is all in all the time. And I think that is cool in a season where a lot of the characters are a bit more, like, even the characters I like Cody, who I haven't talked about yet, is a bit more reserved. Kari's very reserved. TK is not the most, like, outspoken. I think having Yoli there as, like, kind of chaotic. Someone to yell at Davis, and also someone to just, like, do stuff and, like, say things and, like, make the plot happen and like, make thematic, like, narratives, like, come together and, like, actually be, like, tangible. Mm-hmm. And she's just, like, her antics are just entertaining from, like, a pure, like, television standpoint. So I have her in A. I've got Amon. Just a very consistent, sassy little girl. Keeps Kari in check. When she goes onto Amon, that's always very cool.
Mm-hmm, very slay.
Very slay. Very slay Diva. Boots. And then, not Sylveemon. What's the one she spends most of the season on because she can't digivolve into
Onto Nefertimon.
Nefertimon. I was like, it's the Egyptian one. Nefertimon's very cool as well. So I'm kind of grouping all that in with Gatomon because she's like the default base character.
I have to say, I really like, I haven't talked about a lot of Digimon yet, but like, I really like Pegasusmon.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Halsamon and Shurimon are very cool.
Yeah. The Wings of Love. Another reason why Hawkman? Oh my goodness. Hawkmon is in A tier.
Watch 4 seasons of Young Justice just for none of Hawkman.
So Gatomon's in A tier because she is just like a really solid character.
She's a great character.
As season one. And then in my A tier, or like top of my A tier, I should say, I have Vimon. Because I think he is the perfect partner for Davis. Because he is, like, he matches Davis's, like, silliness and, like, a little bit dumb and, like, eagerness. But then he also is, like, a little bit less prone to anger than Davis can be. He's a little bit more sociable in some ways than Davis is. Where he's, like, willing to... Davis does have a problem, I think, where he tries to redirect the conversation to what he wants to talk about a lot of the time, which can be kind of, like, you know, a little annoying because it makes everything Davis-centric. Vimon's more of, like, a team player in that sense, I think. And just his voice is cute. Flame Jermon is cool.
I can't believe I never knew until we were recording this podcast that Vimon and Ken are played by the same person.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, when I read Davis on my tier list, I said Davish because Vimon is his impact. So I have Vimon at the top of my A tier because I think he is just a really great pairing with Davis.
Okay. Bottom of my A tier, I have Gatomon.
Okay.
Again, a really great character. All the things you said, she's so funny. Like, her, like, cat puns are really great this season. I think she's still a very compelling partner. I think she is the most mature of all of the...
Absolutely.
Digimon partners.
She's seen the most shit.
Yeah. next, I have Black War Greymon.
Okay.
Love Black War Greymon down boots. But, like, I rewatched the clip of, like, Wormmon and them, like, telling him, like, wanting to die is, like, ridiculous. And that he should, like, find something to live for so many times. And, like, since we recorded that episode. And it's, like, his emotional impact on the season is so beautiful.
And, like, profound.
Yeah. But I think, I didn't really think about it up until we recorded our final episode for this season, like, viewing, that his sacrifice is ultimately meaningless because Myotismon does get into the digital world. Like,
yeah.
He's stopped by the Digidestined and whatever, but, like, that really was, like, bizarre to me. And
yeah. I kind of, well, like, it teaches the rest of them a lesson a bit, doesn't it?
It, like, kind of shows that, like, that there is, like, the potential for evil to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, we already were getting with Ken. So, like...
Oh, that's true.
I never thought of it like that. I love the storyline of Black Orc Greymon. And, like, I think, to me, it was, like how we had Arukenemon and Mummymon kind of cosplaying as Team Rocket in this dub. I kind of feel like Black Orc Greymon was cosplaying as Mewtwo.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, trying to find the meaning of life and being, like, a clone, basically. Or, like, a synthetic Digimon, which I was like, okay. I don't think that Black Bogreymon ever comes back. I don't think we ever see Black Bogreymon in, like, a flashback or anything. Again, I kind of almost wish that, like, here's my ideal, is that we see that, like, Tai has a Koromon, his son has a Koromon in the epilogue. I want that Koromon to be digivolve into Black Agumon.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot.
And then eventually become Black War Greymon. I think that'd be big slay.
Mm-hmm.
So, then I have TK.
Okay.
I like TK a lot more this season than I did in the first one. My favorite moment of TK is that he punched Ken in the face.
I forgot about that.
It
was like to smack him out of, like, whatever. He was like...
No, it was like... It was when Ken was the Digimon Emperor.
Oh, yeah.
And TK is like, you do an awful lot of talking. I need to be a man about action. And, like, he swings on him. That's really it.
For TK?
For TK. I don't really have any other opinions. I liked TK a lot in this season. I think he should have been the leader. Low-key robbed King. Then I have Cody at the top of my A tier.
Okay.
I like Cody a lot. I don't think Cody got a lot to do and a lot to be involved with until the very end with the reveal of, like, Oikawa knowing his dad, Cody's dad being, like, knowing about the digital world. Like, but when he did have those moments, I was like, oh my God, it was so sweet and, like, heartwarming. And then I think Cody is also a character that we, mostly I, made more interesting by developing this, like, autism theory, or headcanon, I guess, that he is autistic. And to me, like, what was so almost profound about Digimon Adventure in the first place, like, when I think about it, looking back as, like, a 33-year-old now, I didn't know kids whose parents had been divorced. I mean, eventually I did, because, like, my aunt got divorced or whatever, but, like, I didn't know a kid who was adopted. I myself feel like Mimi, you know. So, but then, like, Cody, I think if they made him autistic in, like, a reboot situation, a rewrite situation, I think that'd be really, like, a great representation.
Yeah. Also, I wouldn't call it headcanon. I think calling it a theory is fair, because it's not just, like, something we're adding to the character. It's our interpretation of what we think the writers were going for.
I think they're interchangeable.
Yeah.
Next, I have a special tier.
Okay. Tell me about it.
My special tier is just called Mother and Father, and I just have Arukenemon and Mummymon in it.
Okay.
And I didn't put them in S tier because they are, like, war criminals.
but that could be camp.
They are camp. I think that, like, our connection to them in this viewing has been so fun. Like, cosplaying them was so fun. Like, getting to, like, be really attached. Because I've always loved Arukenemon. I thought she was so cool. First, like, major female villain in the Digimon series. She might be the only one, actually. Like,
oh,
I can't remember. at this point. And there are some seasons.
Well, there was Lady Devimon, but I don't know if she's not.
She just shows up in one episode and gets her ass beat.
Yeah.
I think
Puffco Fairy style.
I think there might be some more female villains later on down the road. But, like, she really is the first, the blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the red print. I think she's so funny. I think, like, watching them die again, like, it's always bothered me the way they die.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, I was like, oh, they were kind of on, like, the cusp of, like, a revelation. And, like, maybe they could have been good guys. Like, how, like, Ogremon became a good guy.
Yeah.
Again, really bothered by the fact that Ogremon never appeared in this season.
Yeah. Missed opportunity.
Now we're on to S tier.
You are to S tier. Okay, my S tier is a bit lengthy, so just prepare yourself.
I'm buckled down.
I got Armadillomon.
Armadillomon!
Very cute. Very much a good balance to Cody.
Okay.
I honestly don't have a ton to say about Armadillomon, other than, like, immediately when he popped on screen, I was, like, obsessed. Like, design-wise, characterization, like, voice, his general, like, demeanor, like, everything about him is really cool. The way they use him when he evolves into, am I being stupid here? Don't he and Cody, like, when they're trapped in, like, that tower that's flooding, don't he and Cody go and, like, rescue, or am I thinking of something else?
Samarimon,
yeah. That's him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the way they use Samarimon to, like, get around is very cool in certain cases.
That whole sequence with when he becomes Samarimon and they go, like, on a little tour of the deep, of the net ocean.
Yeah, the blue ocean.
It's called the net ocean in Digimon, like, for real.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I just really, really like Armadillomon. He's at the bottom of my S tier because, like I said, I don't think he adds a ton narratively that's super interesting. I think he's just a really great presence on your screen. Then I have Wormmon. Very similar again. Perfect pairing for Ken. His narrative of being, like, abused by Ken is very dark, but very powerful. His, like, relentless optimism, his politeness, but the way he does put his foot down at times, all very admirable. Just a great character with a great voice and, like, obviously has a much bigger, probably the biggest impact on the plot of all of the, like, partner Digimon this season. And, like, I just really value that. Then I have Black Wargreymon. I do agree with you with, like, his, like, actual impact on the season. It leaves a bit to be desired. But that arc, when he's in the real world.
Yeah, great scenes.
The great scenes, like, those pack of episodes are some of the best pack of episodes we've had yet.
Also, like, he fills kind of the same function as Wizardmon.
Yeah. He does exactly that. I also just think it's interesting that he's, like, Black Wargreymon, so he's, like, specifically tied to Agumon, and there's this, like, underlying narrative of, like,
the scene, I forgot. We'll talk about it later.
This, like, underlying narrative of, like, in a different set of circumstances, the Agumon we know and love from season one could have ended up just like this. I think is a really, really, really cool, like, because it's never like that in Pokemon. It's not like in Pokemon there's, like, an evil Raichu.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, if Pikachu had ended up with Ash, he could have ended up like this evil Raichu who's, like, causing all these problems and is, like, low-key suicidal. High-key suicidal. It's silly, but he's...
I would probably describe him as more of a nihilist, really.
Yeah, but he's, like, actively seeking destruction at some points.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm seeking for someone who can defeat me so I can die. Like, that's his goal.
His goal is to defeat someone powerful.
Yeah, but every time he defeats someone...
He wants to fight Azulongmon, remember? And Azulongmon's like, I don't think so.
Yeah, but then every time he fights someone and he destroys them, he's like, they're not strong enough. I need someone who can beat me, who can kill me. Like, that's kind of how it feels. Like, that is such a twisted, but, like, well... It's twisted, but it's not done like, look how dark and twisted he is. He wants to die. It's very, like, depressing. It's written respectfully, and it's written with, like, a deep understanding of.
Yeah, they really respect Blackboard Raymond's, like, story.
Yeah. Then I have Cody. I think he has the most, him and his grandpa have the most interesting, like, family dynamic of the season. I think then obviously the stuff with his dad and Oikawa. I think he learns the most over the season of the new Digidestined, which is saying a lot because I think Davis learns a lot too, but I think Cody's confidence grows so much across the season and his capabilities. I think his characterization is just good. I think, like, I guess I don't really know how to put it into words. I really think Cody is a great character who stands out for all the right reasons.
Would you say that Cody is, like, the Digidestined this season that you relate to the most?
Probably.
Could I see that for you?
Probably. I wouldn't say it's, like, a super... The character who I relate to the most this season out of everyone... I know I said Hawkmon earlier, but I think I'd actually probably say Wormmon. Not that I'm, like, battered, but...
Okay, you're safe here.
But, like...
This is a safe place.
The way he, like, always tries to, like, rationalize things, and the way that he is, like, tries to be optimistic and organized and polite in no matter what the circumstances. Yeah. But going back to Cody. Yeah, I don't really have a lot else to say about Cody other than just, like, I think, like, a lot... I think Yoli and Davis are interesting character-wise. I think Cody is interesting character-wise and has a lot more plot going for him.
Okay.
Then I have Ken.
Okay.
I think just a really, I guess I'm thinking of him separately from the other three new Digidestined, even though he's also new Digidestined. A really interesting character, speaks a lot of social commentary there about, like, the pressure he's put on Wonder Kids. I don't know if that's, like, specific to Japanese culture, but I can imagine it's prominent in Japanese culture.
There is, like, that stereotype of, like, Asian kids and Asian parents, like,
yeah.
I mean, we're not Asian, so, like, we can't really, like, speak to that, but it is, like, a trope in media that I've seen, so, like,
yeah. And then I think, like, the loss of his brother is, like, a very compelling narrative that I'm sure a lot of kids out there are unfortunately related to and, like, really got a lot out of. The transformation of him from Digi Emperor to just Ken is really interesting to see evolve over time. Like, he's the character who, like, episode to episode, you get, like, little bits and more of every time. It's not like, okay, here's his Ken's episode where he, like, has character development, and then, like, he's just, like, flat at that level for the next, like, right, seven episodes until we get to the next Ken episode, which is what we get with, like, Yoli and Davis and Kari or whatever. With him, we're always, like, there's always this inherent, like, even if the episode isn't centric around him, there's always the element of, like, okay, how is he interacting with these other characters that, like, did hate him, that he's kind of afraid to interact with? Like, is he lightening up a little bit more? Is he cracking jokes? Like, there's always, like, room for, like, a little bit of that angle to be built into the episode, and they do a really good job of building that over time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I also think, again, his dynamic with Wormmon post-Digi-Emperor is really great. I like that he's, like, a nerd who's really good at sports.
Yeah.
I think that also is very much, like, not of that time. I feel like it's either, like, you're good at sports, Davis, or you're a nerd, Cody. Or I guess Cody also does kendo, but, you know.
I would say Yoli is the nerd.
Yeah, yeah, that makes more sense. Or Izzy. Like, Izzy's not a sports kid. Where Ken is, like, both, which I think is really cool.
But I think it's because he has to be good at everything.
Yeah. Then I have Momimon. I'll talk about them together. I have Momimon, and then the top of my S tier is Arukenimon.
She's number one.
She's number one.
I think the
two of... Okay, so I'll talk about how they're together and then why I have Arukenimon distinctly above Momimon. The two of them together are comedic gold every time they're on screen. Slapstick done right, I think. But also, like, there's more to it than just slapstick. They're also harrowing villains. Like, they're not, like, pushovers. They have, like, interesting motivations. They have cool designs. They
so cool.
are a constant presence throughout pretty much the entire season. I mean, they're kind of overshadowed by the Digi Emperor for most of the
Honor Pennymon shows up right after they defeat the Digimon Emperor, though.
Yeah, but like...
And then she's there for the rest of the season.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then even with the Digi Emperor, like, that was kind of her doing, so it's like also mm-hmm. there. Which is nice, because I think one of the problems that season one dealt with is like not only was it Monster of the Week, but it was also like boss monster of like these 10 episodes. New boss monster of these 10 episodes. So I like that. Uh-huh. Them driving a car is funny. Like, just everything about the vocal performances are really great. Moriyamon is a bit one note in that he's, like, obsessed with Arakenimon. And there's a lot this season, actually. There's a lot of, like, I don't want to say unrequited crushes, but, like, mm-hmm. over-the-top, like, kind of one-sided crush dynamics. You have it with June towards Matt. You have it with Davis towards Kari. So it is a little bit...
Yoli and Ken,
yes.
There's that love triangle with Ty, Sora, and Matt.
Yeah. But at least it has, like, a season of foundation on it. But I think just having two villains interact in that way is interesting. The reason I have Arakenimon higher is because I think she has a really complex narrative. First of all, she's a fucking icon. Yeah, obviously.
That's Mother. Yeah.
She's so sinister. Like, where Mummimon's goofy, she's, like, so sinister and so, like...
She's scary.
She's scary. I think there's, like, a feminist commentary to be made here about, like, her, like, quote-unquote pretty appearance versus, like, her true appearance. And, like, why does she pursue that? Why does she feel the need to, like, present in a way, like...
She's, like a femme fatale.
Yeah, she's, like, a femme fatale, but then, like...
And she utilizes that femme fatale-ness for when she needs it.
Yeah.
And then like, her more powerful form
mm-hmm.
is this, like, monster.
Yeah, but she also seems to be more comfortable in her femme fatale. So, like, what does that say about, like, body image, like society's expectations on women, like, all this. Like, I think that's an element here. I also think she's really interesting as a villain because she is a manipulator towards Ken. And towards Moriyamon, but she's also being manipulated, so she gets both ends of that dynamic. Where it usually, we also especially
see her literally as a manipulator in that episode when they're in like the mega house or whatever.
Yeah,
and she is literally controlling all the insects Digimon.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I think usually, especially in shows like this, you get characters who are either like the boss or the minion, and she is both.
She's both, yeah.
And I think. She rides that line very interestingly because she'll be so clearly, like, in charge of Moriyamon, and then she'll be so deferential to Oikawa as well.
I don't get that she, like, willingly serves Oikawa, though, because to me, I think by the end, like, before they go back to the digital world and they get, like, stuck in that, like, parallel dimension.
Mm-hmm.
I think that she's kind of resentful that Oikawa came in and took all this over.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Mm-hmm. But I think ultimately she also, like, has moments where she is, like...
I think there's a great... Like, in our rewrite, I think there is a great moment where, like, we discover that, like, Arakenimon and Mummimon were meant to be, like, partner Digimon.
To Oikawa.
No. Because I like Oikawa having, like thinking he generated these big, powerful Digimon.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, his Digimon partner was not meant to be big and scary and evil and nasty. Because mm-hmm. that's not who he is. He's really, like, soft and gentle. So his Digimon partner is meant to be the little baby grape thing.
Oh, yes, right. That's right. That's right.
I think I would like to see, like, maybe Arakenimon be partners with, like, June.
Oh, that would be funny.
Or, like, one of the Dark Spore kids
mm-hmm.
or something.
The other thing I'll say is their deaths were the moment of the season that, like, hit me the hardest out of everything. And they're the villains.
It is, like, really, like, it always bothered me a lot. But we get to see a full breadth of emotions from Arakenimon. Like, she's funny, she's mean, she's scary, and then she's manipulated, being manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to see her scared and powerless.
Yeah. And it's like really and like, frightening.
You hate to see it because we love to see a bad bitch winning.
Yeah.
You know, I also think that there's so much cool stuff about her design with, like, her being, like, a spider and being, like, the puppet master, pulling all the strings because she's a spider. So, I really love Ori Kennimon.
Yeah.
I want her to come back, her Mommy Mon to come back as, like, good. But Mommy Mon came back as, like, a good Digimon in Ghost Game, but Ori Kennimon consistently comes back as a villain. And I think it's because she's so effectively designed as a bad guy.
Yeah.
But, like, I think there's also potential for her to be, like, a compelling partner character.
Yeah, I like that. Also, I had to put them at the top of my tier because that's us, baby.
That's us, baby!
I mean, we don't have a horrible dynamic with them, but we were them for Halloween. So, yeah, that's top of my S tier, Ori Kennimon. And may I be so bold? If I was ranking all of the characters, like, if I was including the season one characters, mm-hmm. I think Ori Kennimon would still be top of S tier for me.
Okay. I just had to put them in their own separate tier because they do mean so much to me now. I think that I have strong connections to the other characters too. So.
Yeah.
Bottom of my S tier is Ken.
Okay.
Remember that, like, infamous tweet of Lucy Dacus retweeting Obama and going, war criminal. Friend face?
Yes.
That's Ken. He is a war criminal. But he's also, like, a sensitive, like...
Wells for sensitive boys.
I do say a lot of the same things that you have about Ken, I feel about Ken. You said Cody is the one that you think learns the most. I think all of the new Digidestined learn more in this season. Like, they're like, the growth is there. Mm-hmm. I think it is less so for Tiki and Kari, but, like, they're also learning. I think Ken is the one that learns and grows the most.
Yeah, no, that is true. I kind of think of him as separate because he started off separate.
Yeah. I think that he is, like, I love his dynamic with Wormmon. I love, like, when they become, you know, good guys. I love his mom. I love a lot of things about him. I do wish that there was a longer turnaround from him being the Digimon Emperor to him being a Digidestined.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, like, that was probably more effective in week-to-week viewing.
Okay.
Versus, like, binging, kind of. So, next is Mimi. That's my queen.
Yeah.
So, I love her. I love that she was, like, you guys are being stupid about not wanting to work with Ken. Like, obviously, you have to work with Ken. Like,
I'm kind of surprised she's at the top here.
She's, like, when she, like, takes, like, Kari's, like, thing or whatever, and she just, like, texts Ken or whatever, and she's like, we need your help.
Yeah.
She's like, shut up, don't. And then I think, like, her relationship with Palmon is still so strong. Like, I love Mimi.
Mm-hmm.
Next, I have Vimon. I love Vimon. I think he's so cute. I think he's, like, the way he's, like, partnership. It's, like, it is, like, a lot like Tai and Agumon. Like, that makes me emotional. Then I have Wormmon. Mm-hmm. I don't know why he's here and not higher. I might have just, like, gotten distracted or given up on this. But I love Wormmon so much.
He's so good.
What a sweet boy. Angel child of my life. Armadillomon, same.
Yeah.
Same. I also think it was a great idea for them to give our tiny autistic boy this big, heavy, armored Digimon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to protect him. I think that's very...
I think they would be partners.
Yeah. Howdy! No, Davis.
Oh my god, you do have Davis up this high.
There was something about Davis in this rewatch where I was like, oh, I love him.
Oh, I'm glad.
I didn't get
there with him, but
I think he's so great. Like, what a nice guy.
No, he is very nice.
Like, in a way where I don't think we ever got that with Tai.
Yeah.
Davis is such a genuine, kind person.
Yeah.
Top of my S tier, Yoling.
That's your queen. That's your woman in STEM.
I think she's the one of this group that I relate to the most.
Mm-hmm.
Loud, opinionated, she's loud and opinionated in a way that, like, I wish I could be.
Mm-hmm.
more often. She's not afraid to share how she feels. Mm-hmm. She's a badass woman in STEM. Bisexual queen. Not me, but like...
Go off queen.
Go off queen.
Yeah.
I love her.
Nice. We didn't have too many big differences in our tiers. I think the biggest is you had Divas so high up, and I had them at the bottom of B.
All right. That was our tier list.
That was our tier list.
Okay, Michael?
Yes?
I have some other questions for you.
Okay.
About this season.
Oh, God, I didn't study.
Well, it's kind of about this season. It really is just more about Digimon in general.
Okay. Hit me with it.
Well, the first one is about the season.
Okay.
So I lied. If Davis, Yoli, and Cody got crests, what would their crests be? What quality do they embody most?
Do I just pick ones from the crests that already exist?
No.
Okay.
New ones.
Okay. Yoli, I would definitely give... I'm trying to think of what the right word for this is. I would give her, outspokenness, maybe? That quality of, like, having strong opinions, not being afraid to voice them. But I don't want to say, like, opinionated, because that sounds like a negative.
My idea for Yoli's crest, and not to, like, we're on a similar wavelength about it.
Yeah.
Passion.
Passion is a really good way of putting it, yep.
Like you said, she has everything with, like, 110%.
Yeah. Cody, I think maybe patience.
I think patience is a good choice.
Thank you. I think, because I think we get a very visual representation of that. With the kendo, because, like, that's all about, like, picking the right moment to strike, is my understanding, or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's not just, like...
And him having, like, a lot of more reservations.
Yeah.
Too, than the other kids.
Yeah, and he, like, sits and takes more time to think things through.
We also see him literally having that, like, moment of, like, sitting and waiting patiently to, like, finish something, and, like, early on. Remember when he, like, hasn't finished that one tomato in his lunch, and, like, he has to finish it?
Oh, yeah.
So, I think patience is a good choice.
Patience. And then for Davis?
Davish.
For Davish, I would say... I gotta Google this to make sure I know the definition. No, because that's... Okay, that's a negative. I don't want to say that. I was going to say foolhardiness. He has, like, drive, and he has, like, a can-do attitude. So, I don't know exactly. I guess I would say... Genuineness? I also don't know the word for that.
I think that would kind of coincide with Mimi's crest of sincerity.
Sincerity, yes, that's the word.
My idea... We actually did say this in our episode. We covered the last episode.
Okay.
Willpower.
Willpower is a great, yeah. Willpower is exactly how
it is. Literally had the willpower to just not be depressed by the dark spore.
And, like, yeah, that's true.
And he,
he was like, no.
Him being like, depression? No, that's dumb.
Yeah. simply stop. Here, try to hit me with a chainsaw real quick.
Okay, so should we get some more questions?
Yeah.
Michael, I have a very, okay. Would you rather do a top five list right now, or me ask you, like, a question?
I don't really have a way to gauge that. Just
okay,
go for it.
So, what if... Okay, let's do our top five favorite moments from this season. Or just from Adventure altogether. Like, these two seasons.
Oh, I think it would be easier for me if I just focus on this season.
Okay, let's do this one
season. Okay, so just off the top of my head... Favorite as in, like, I enjoyed them the most, or just favorite as in, like, the most impactful?
Both.
Okay. I'm gonna be annoying. I'm gonna do, like, scenes, and I'm gonna do moments. Okay? So, for example, like, my favorite, like, the...
Is this five of each?
Maybe. Just real quick. When I think of the season, the visuals that come to my mind immediately, like settings. The Mega House. Cody at the Dojo, yeah. The Chinese restaurant,
yeah,
that they were in. The computer lab, and, like, Yoli's convenience store. Those are my favorite five, like, places of the season. Moments, I think the first time they DNA Digivolve is very cool.
Cannon Davis,
yeah. I think this is like kind of a collection of moments, I guess, but like when they each meet their partners for the first time, specifically like, "Ha, I'm Armadillo Mom. We're gonna be partners." Like, that's just very heartwarming to me always. I think the like chat that Agumon and is it Vimon, I think, have.
No, it's Agumon, like the very first one.
No. When Black War Greymon fought and he's like passed out on the beach.
It's Agumon, Vimon, and Wormmon.
And Wormmon, yeah. The chat all of them have with Black War Greymon on that beach is interesting. I'll go back to the Chinese restaurant as like the funniest, like silliest little scene of the season for me. That's four. Yes. And then I'll say Wormmon coming back. Like finding out Wormmon didn't die.
Wormmon, who did not die.
Yeah. That'd be my top. Oh, that's just off the top of my head. Like those are the ones I think of first, which probably means that they are the ones that I like care about the most, you know?
Okay.
I'm sure there's like a specific Oikawa moment in there that I'd maybe put on there. Like one of the realizations, like the great little guy or something.
Yeah.
Or the revelation that he knew Cody's dad. Like, there's, like, moments in there, but no one sticks out super prominently. Okay. It's more, like, the collection of the narrative.
I think my top five favorite moments would be meeting the partners is, like, a great moment. This is, like, the very first.
Yeah.
Hi. And I think that includes, like, us getting to see, like, that Wormmon exists. Like, I think, meeting Michael.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I didn't even say anything about the World Tour, but the World Tour stuff is cool.
Yeah, maybe I'll just do World Tour. I think our Kennymon's reveal.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty cool one.
I think not the same chat of Gorgreymon, but the one where Agumon first meets Black War Greymon, and he's, like, trying to explain to him, like, what a friend is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that really is
that
sweet to me.
That is really, yeah, that's up there for me, too. I thought another one, too, but I don't wanna.
I'm gonna say, Yoli and Mimi team up the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Two queens maximizing their joint slay.
It's like Saphira and Tsunami in the Olay body wash commercials. Two queens maximizing their joint slay.
I think that I also am gonna say the Christmas episode.
Oh, that's a really good one. The other one I was thinking of was when Ken's parents, like Ken's finally reunited with his parents, and they like cry. And
when Ken comes out to his parents as a Justin.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you your top five cringiest moments from this season.
June's Juning. It's rather annoying. Everything Dark Ocean, because it's like edgy cringe. maybe it's like wrong of me to label this as cringe, but when Ken kicks Wormmon like out of rage. Like, abusing your best friend? That's cringe, bro.
Yeah. Oh, I have another good moment. I forgot
it. Is Wormmon being a beta cuck cringe?
Wormmon is not a beta cuck.
No. I don't remember the cringe as well. Maybe tell me yours and then my trigger.
I think we have all the same ones.
I listed them off? Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like Oikawa has some major cringe at one point.
To me, Oikawa is not as cringe. Oikawa, to me, feels like a Pokemon, where he is like, why do you get to eat the pizza when I get the crust?
Yeah. What's cringe is Oikawa literally being like a kidnapper who drives a white van, like, stereotypically.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. Oh, I think my cringe, number one, is Kari being a bitch.
Yeah. There's a lot of cringe kings and queens this season. Davis is a cringe king, absolutely.
Oh, the Sylveemon episode? Cringe.
Why?
I don't remember. Remember, like, it was just, like, the way they treated Yoli versus the way they treated Kari, where, like, Yoli having all these genuine emotions and genuine questions, but, like, Ken and Kari being bogged down by this, like, emo bullshit.
Oh.
And then like, the narrative treating, wanting us to treat Yoli like she's being a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, that was all a choice.
Also, I think cringe is that we never get to see Ken Armor Digivolve.
Okay.
And here's a top five, but that's a good enough list. So I don't think this season is as cringe as we want it to.
Yeah.
As people think. Michael?
Mm-hmm.
The time has come.
Okay. To lip sync?
We're going to play a game.
Oh, gosh.
I've already played it. I already put it in a simulator.
Oh.
It's time for... Did you
do a Brant Steele?
Big Brothermon! Which Digimon character do you think would be the best at Big Brother? Oh, no.
Is it gone?
Looks like it's gone. Embarrassing.
It's rather annoying.
Oh, no. Anyway, in the Big Brother Brant Steele Digimon thing that I did,
I was going to say probably TK.
Oh, TK was not. He did not win.
I would say TK or Armadillomon.
I did not put the Digimon in. It was only human characters.
Who won?
I had to fit 16 characters, and there's only, like, 12 of, like, the Digidestined.
Okay.
So I had to throw in some extras. So I threw in, like, June,
mm-hmm.
Jim,
okay,
Michael,
mm-hmm.
and Willis.
Oh, okay. You didn't throw in Oikawa.
No. Sorry. Sorry, bro.
Okay. Did June win?
No. The final three was Jim, Wallace, and Mimi. Mimi did get voted out.
Yeah. Jury threat.
And Jim was the winner of Big Brother Mon.
Jim is in
Joe's brother.
Oh my god.
And Yoli won AFP.
Of course.
Yeah. So I'm so bummed that I didn't save.
Thanks. I'm sorry.
Anyway, so I'll redo it. We'll see if it's the same thing. Yeah. I'll post it on our Twitter and Instagram.
Did you give them all like stats? Is that how that works? Or is it fully randomized?
It's fully randomized.
Okay. It's not like this person is a good liar or whatever.
So I actually think that Mimi would be a great Big Brother player. Not just because she's my favorite, but because she's like got a great social dynamic.
Yeah.
For the most part.
I do think she wouldn't have a lot going on strategy-wise. I think she would just strategize around, like,
man, this Brant Steele, she had one HOH win.
Okay, work.
And one POV win.
Work.
So. But, like, I think Davis was a comp, or Willis was a comp beast, so.
We were like, Ken would be the comp beast.
Ken got voted out early.
Yeah, because they knew he'd be comp beast, because he's smart and athletic.
He was the, Amber.
Amber.
I did base it off of Big Brother 16, so.
Okay. No, it's not a Battle of the Block season.
Yeah. Battle of the Digi-Block.
Oh my god.
Alright.
Battle of the, what's the square they live in?
Battle of Pandu Terrace.
Battle of the Terrace.
I'm really bummed about that. I will make a Brant Steele and post it to our social medias.
Yeah.
So please follow us on Instagram and on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Eventually we'll probably move to Blue Sky. But
yeah.
I have one last thing to talk about with you.
Okay, is it that Shiloh was using our laptop as a scratching post?
No. Okay. This, I just titled, Shipping That.
Okay. So who do I ship from this character this season?
Yeah, who are your ships? This includes, like, the adventure one and...
Okay. I don't, maybe this is just me, I don't really do a lot of shipping. I know that's a boring answer. I would ship I do ship Kari and TK, because obviously Kari and Davis is not going to happen.
Yeah.
I ship...
because Kari can have good things.
Yeah.
She's mean to my friend.
She's mean to my friend.
Nightmare syndrome.
Oh my goodness. I mean, Ty and Sora is like the other obvious one.
Okay, but Sora gets married to Matt.
That's right, that does happen canonically.
Yeah.
I think maybe... did I say Joe and Mimi last season?
Yeah.
I feel like Joe and Mimi could work. I don't know. I don't see Cody with anyone.
Cody is the hardest one.
I don't really see Yoli and Ken actually being a couple. I feel like it's the type of thing where, like, they get older and they're friends, and then Yoli's like, man, I had such a crush on you in middle school. Like, I feel like that's the dynamic.
They literally get married and have three kids.
I know, but I wasn't sure how I felt about that.
You're like, I don't really see it for them. Meanwhile, Yoli has got, like, two babies in each arm and is, like, running a cash register at a convenience store.
Yeah. You know, and I get that. I feel like they did that because they had to do that.
They didn't have to.
No, I guess not. Sorry, I know that's a boring answer. I tell you who I ship. I tell you who I ship the most. Mon and Arakenima.
They're dead.
And I ship them in the afterlife.
Work. Well, since mine was boring, my answers are... We're not going to meet Ty's ship, really. Yeah, I think she's in try. Because I kind of was like Ty Sora growing up. But now I'm like, no, I see it. I see where, like, they wouldn't work as a couple as much. My theory is that, like, they do date. And then, like she dates Matt. And then she breaks up with Matt and dates Ty. And then she breaks up with Ty, dates Matt. And then, like, she's single for a while. And then, like, her and Matt, like, reconnect. And then they get married.
Mm-hmm.
And then seeking Kari, sure, whatever, fine. I actually did like the idea of us, like we said when we covered the movie, where like Kari being the narrator of the movie is like part of TK's book.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like his wife like recount his it's Kari's foreword in the beginning of the book. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I ship Izzy and Mimi.
Okay, I don't hate that.
I think, like, because I feel like they had such a great dynamic in the first adventure.
Mm-hmm.
More so than Joe. Joe and Cody are the ones where I'm like, oh, I know.
Oh, maybe I do have a ship.
Who?
Yoli and Mimi.
Yoli and Mimi is the only other acceptable Yoli ship, in my opinion.
Yeah, because doesn't Yoli have, like, a whole episode where she has, like, a big crush on Mimi?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. That's the two queens maximizing their joint slay. And that's really the end of all I have to say. I kind of, like, I guess also because I ship TK and Kari, I ship not Patamon and Gatamon, but, like, Anjumon and Anjumomon.
Yeah.
You
know what it is for me? The show clearly has specific characters they want us to ship. I mean, obviously they give them canonical like that, and like I guess I can see those. I don't see a lot outside of what the show presents. You know what I mean? Like it's hard for me to ship characters.
Not really about that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, also, Davis and Ken.
Yeah, honestly.
And that's really all I have to say.
And that's the tea. I don't know what that was.
That's what they say on Raid a Queen on Drag Race.
Oh, that's what it was. Oh God, Raid a Queen, where the votes don't matter because no one went home.
Raid a Queen. Again, you can follow us on Twitter at @2GaysPod.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow us on Instagram @2GaysPod. You can email us at @2GaysPod@gmail.com. All that is TWO.
Mm-hmm. You can probably subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform. Like, if you listen to us on Spotify, you can, like...
Yeah, you can also listen to us on YouTube. Follow us on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to start Did you watch Hamers?
We are. I'm excited.
We're still watching the English version.
We have the DVD.
We have the DVD. This is another one that I grew up with. What are you hoping to see, actually, in Tamers? Like, what's some of your hopes and dreams?
Female leadership. I'm pretty sure it's not going to happen, though.
We'll see.
Okay. And I think just continuing to build on the, like, stronger elements of... I know it's a separate narrative, but, like, 0-2, I think, made the show stronger in many ways. And I hope that Tamers keeps it up.
Okay. I'm looking forward to looking at things through a new light, kind of how I've done for 0-2.
The fresh start is exciting, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, this autism thing with Cody I never thought about before. I have, like, a totally different viewpoint on Davis. Like, I still really love Yoli. And I'm a certified Kari hater. Like,
yeah, you got your stamp, you got your card and everything.
Yeah, I'm a Kari anti, or whatever they call them.
Oh, as opposed to Stan?
Yeah.
A Nats?
Yeah, Stanley Yell Nats.
Stanley Yell.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Not Stanley
Yell. Bye, I guess.
Bye, everyone!
Bye. Oh, you know, I'm looking forward to, wait, quick.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to new memes. Like, I'm looking forward to new, like, soundboard equivalents of, like,
bitch, that's my June, God,
and
yes.
It's Mimi Bitch. Like,
do you already have some in mind?
No, I don't. Okay. Like, I'm so excited to think of that.
I'm excited too.
That's what I'm looking forward to. Okay, now bye for real.
Bye.
Bye.